You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Welcome aboard on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way from our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids at 3:05. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Isaac on the other side of the glass. Big show coming up for you today. We'll talk some football. We'll talk some baseball with you. Nothing better to do as we get into the final days, really, of the month of August. Cal Elder, the major leaguer, the former major leaguer, will be joining us, and we will talk about everything that's going on as we are down to the last 4 weeks, 30 games of the major league regular season. And we will discuss what is happening as we get into the month of September with Cal. Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell meeting the media today in Iowa City and Ames, respectively, as they get ready for their week one games, Iowa, Illinois State, Iowa State, and North Dakota. We will talk about that and a whole lot more, including cut down day in the National Football League as the cuts, actually, 6 minutes ago, they needed to be made. Or trades, or what have you. So we will get to that as well. 319-366-1600 is our text line. That is the way to communicate with us. Again, 319-366-1600. Phone number as well, 319-366-1600. And Isaac, I'll start with you today. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Looking forward to cool off a little bit tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. Could get some rain cooling things off, yes. Too.
I'm just looking forward to not be in the 90s, I guess is the biggest thing. That's cooling off right now, is not being in the 90s.
We got wrestling news, too. We'll get to in the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's toward the bottom of the hour. Yeah, I was talking with you about some wrestling to-ing and fro-ing a little bit earlier on, and it's going to be a different look for the Iowa wrestling program coming up this year. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I won't say too much, but they took stock, I think.
No, because Tom likes you, remember.
Seems like they took stock, and they realized that there is quite a large gap, a bigger gap than I think even they realized, and there's going to be a big lineup shakeup as far as it's going to look very different next year than it did last year.
Aiden Riggins announcing he's transferring to Iowa State from Iowa, the former champ at Waverly Shell Rock, so... that's one of the goings, and there'll be talk of some announcements of folks coming in to Iowa City. So stay tuned for that. But we do have wrestling news we will get to with Mark on the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update toward the bottom of the hour, and Mark joining me on a warm but not quite as warm as yesterday, Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone out there. And yeah, it's a very comfortable 94 degrees here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. And I think you can relate to this, Scott. I had a text from my son. He said, come on, you remember all those days I was out there in that wool baseball jersey and uniform sitting in the hot sun? Come on.
I remember those days I was doing that. Yeah, it's, you know what? If you're outside, you're used to it. Maybe not used to it is the right phrase, but you deal with it. How's that? Dealing with it is what you have to do, and just have to hydrate and take care of it. So if you are outside, thank you for tuning in, and remember, hydration is the key. 319-366-1600. We've got football to talk about. Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell talking with the media today. Let's start in Iowa City, by the way. Kirk just wrapping up a little bit ago his news conference, and coaches' cuts will be coming your way on Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. He'll have the audio of what Kirk Ferentz had to say. We will give you the Reader's Digest condensed version here, Mark, but on what Kirk had to say. Of course, he is not going to be on the sidelines on Saturday. He had all the requisite things you should say about your opponent to start things off. First of all, the captain's being announced today, and a hearty tip of the cap and congratulations to Cedar Rapids Xavier's Quinn Schulte. He was one of the four captains for Iowa for the first week, and if you follow Iowa football, you know will be the captain for the year.
Yeah, great honor, no doubt about it. And Kirk is very consistent about naming his captains for whatever reason, besides it being an honor, and it is for Quinn Schulte and Cade McNamara and Jay Higgins and Luke Lachey. They will be on the field for the flip on Saturday. And just a point of clarification, and Isaac knows this, familiar with it. This is the Cliff's Notes version of Kirk Ferentz. Right, Isaac?
Yes. Yeah.
Not the Reader's Digest edition.
Or another Spark Notes is a good one. That's another popular one.
Oh, see, you lost me there.
Spark. If you know Spark Notes, you'll know Spark Notes.
Okay. Cliff's Notes was when Mark and I were.
It's basically the same, but it's like a website and stuff.
Just a
like
new
that.
One.
Yeah.
There was no website. This was a printed edition.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's basically carried the mantle to modern day.
Aha.
That's what Spark Notes is.
Very good. Well, now you're going to get people talking about Spark Notes and Cliff Notes now, Mark.
I know nothing about it, obviously. Well, maybe not obviously, but I digress. Kirk Ferentz was typical Kirk Ferentz today, and talking about the opponent, which happens to be Illinois State this week, said the team is very healthy, didn't really mention anybody being out this week. A couple takeaways I got was that should Iowa receive a punt or a kickoff, and I guess they will receive a kickoff, Caden Wiesian will be the punt returner, and Caleb Johnson likely will be the kickoff returner. And the running back situation, we talked about this yesterday with Kamari Moulton listed on the number one line. Kirk Ferentz said LaShawn Williams has been battling some injuries, although he's back, missed some time in practice. But Moulton, Williams, and Caleb Johnson, they're quote-unquote all going to play, according to Ferentz.
Yeah, and we said yesterday when we saw that depth chart that, yeah, don't worry, they're 1A, 1B, and 1C. They're all three going to get into the game. And that's basically what Kirk Ferentz had to say verbatim today. And injuries kind of put Kamari at number 1A, if you will, at least going into this week. And I think Hawkeye fans are very, very excited to see what he is going to bring to the table. And it is a deep running back room for Iowa. Now, hopefully they'll all remain healthy, able to be out there, do their thing that they do better than the next one. And it would help the team. People are interested to see exactly how this three-headed monster is going to work for the Hawkeyes. And to be honest with you, I think Kirk Ferentz and or Seth Wallace and or Tim Lester would love to see this offense not have to show a whole lot on Saturday against Illinois State. If they can run the ball for 300 yards, they're going to run the ball for 300 yards and shorten up that game and take the comfortable win and move on to Iowa State week.
Yeah, the running back situation is a very comfortable one, I think. You even had Terrell Washington Jr. back there last year, and now he's moved to wide receiver and is in the two deep. So there's skill at that position. But that's the goal of every season opener. Sometimes it always doesn't go so well. Doesn't always go so well. But I think this is an Iowa – imagine this. Iowa favored by 23.5 points. How many points did Iowa average per game last year?
Not 23.
You want to take the under, right? Well, maybe not so fast. I'm not going to make a recommendation right now, but this is a game Iowa should win. The difference, of course, is Kirk Ferentz is not going to be on the sidelines. First time he or Hayden Fry will not be on the sidelines since 1978.
Wow.
When Bob Cummings coached his last game. But and Kirk went through that whole procedure. He felt practice and preparation were as important as game day, kind of lowballing it a little bit. But come midnight Friday, he'll leave the team and leave it in the hands of Seth Wallace, the coordinators, and other coaches.
319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the text line or the phone line. Again, that's 319-366-1600. Kirk did talk a little bit about Reese Vanderzee, the true freshman out of Central Lyon, George Little Rock, who was listed as a number two at one of the three wide receiver spots on the depth chart. Did say he's going to get in on Saturday. Did say that, but also talking about this year's freshman class, that he does not, at this time anyway, expect any of them more than likely, and that's, unless there are injuries or something changes. That's a caveat out there, but does not expect any of the freshmen to play more than the four games that they are given via the NCAA rule. In case you do not know, freshmen can now play in up to four games and not burn a season of eligibility. That rule was instituted a few years back anyway. Used to be if you saw somebody out there in the day, Mark, then the red shirt was off, and they were going to play for the entirety of that year, or at least in some instances for that year. But that's not the case anymore.
No, it isn't. And you're right. Reese Vanderzee is probably going to be the only true freshman that you see on the field on Saturday. Of course, that could change. But I think that speaks to Iowa's experience and depth at a variety of positions as well. Kirk also asked about several individual players, but talked about the offensive line. And I think this is one aspect that people are really going to be anxious to see. Is this offensive line improved? And Kirk Ferentz said there's a group of about eight that really are versatile, have experience, and he's confident that they're going to get the job done. You never know until you get on the field. And so, yeah, just a few days until kickoff, 11 o'clock on Saturday. And I think, you know, people are going to be looking at a lot of different things in terms of Iowa. I don't know what's the biggest thing for you.
Yeah, I think that would be a good Friday topic for people. But just to... For me, and I think everybody out there, it's going to be, what's the offense going to look like? What are we going to see? We got a little bit of a glimpse during Kids Day. We got a little bit more of a glimpse at the spring game last spring. What's it going to look like when the bullets are flying out there? And that is what I'm going to be looking for this offense. They're not going to show a whole lot. At least they do not want to show a whole lot. We've said that many times. We'll say it for the rest of the week in this Illinois State game. But what's it going to look like out there? And is it going to be an offense that is going to throw underneath coverage? Is it going to be one that's going to take the lid off every once in a while? How are the wide receivers, especially without Caleb Brown out there this Saturday, how are they going to perform? Are they going to be able to get open? Iowa wide receivers have had trouble getting open over the last few years, if you have not noticed that. It has not all been the fault of the scheme or whatnot. It's just a plain and simple fact. They have not been able to get open as other wide receiver core have in the Big Ten and around the country. So, and the punting. If Iowa has to punt, yes, we know the latest Aussie has a big leg, but those are big shoes he's going to have to fill, as you know, Mark, with your, fourth-round draft choice in Chicago.
Yeah, Reese Duncan comes highly recommended, but it'll be, the first time Iowa fans will be able to see him. And I think there's a fine line between, you know, you don't want to show too much against a non-conference foe, including an FCS opponent. But given the circumstances of, you know, first real test for Cade McNamara in a couple of years, first real test for Tim Lester's new schemes and philosophies. You want to see how some of that works out, too, without being too plain vanilla.
What do you think? 319-366-1600. As we talk a little bit about what was said in Iowa City today, 9663 asking on the text line, can Kirk stand in the locker room and watch the game, or does he have not need to be in the stadium? He is not going to be in the stadium. He is going to be at home. That is the, as of right now anyway, that is the plan. I don't think anything has changed. I don't believe he said anything about changing his plans for Saturday. It's going to be Kirk and Mary on the couch watching a little Iowa football on Saturday. He cannot be in the stadium.
Correct. And maybe as concerned of what he's going to have for lunch at halftime or a snack. Is it nachos or ham and cheese sandwich? I don't know what Kirk eats, but it's going to be different. It's going to be totally different for him.
Yeah, and he talked about that a little bit. He's not going to make Seth Wallace basically be a clone of himself. If Seth Wallace wants to do a couple of wrinkles, so be it. Now, I wouldn't read too much into that. We're not going to see, you know, Air Wallace or anything like that, or Air Lester coming up because Kirk is not there. Kirk will be back on Sunday. So you have to answer to the head hawk if you do something that he may not like out there. But it's still going to be, in my opinion, pretty bland and pretty plain vanilla unless they need to step on the gas a little.
Well, Kirk's definitely going to have a legal pad in front of him, and he'll go over things much like he writes things down during the game. Some of that is, you know, things he goes over at halftime or whatever, but also it's, you know, starting that next week, and here were the problems, be they penalties, missed blocks, what have you. He's going to have a couple pens and a legal pad in front of him.
And chewing gum. I bet he'll be chewing some gum. 321, JW and Cedar Rapids, thanks for tuning in today. Appreciate it. With the skill set our quarterbacks have had, the receivers had to be more open than usual. Yeah, and didn't get there a lot of times. 2537 is preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. They are preparing for another year of awful offense, and maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised. Sure. Why not? Why not? We will see how the offense looks when things kick off at just past 11 o'clock on Saturday morning down at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. That's the story from Iowa City. Matt Campbell meeting the media in Ames today as Iowa State gets ready to take on North Dakota. What I got out of what Matt Campbell's comments were, Mark, was that he is really, really loving this team. He loves the fact that they are experienced, that he mentioned several times this team being together every day, giving 100%. Yeah, that's the old cliche. But just every day they bring their pail to work and they get after it. And Matt Campbell could not have said any more than he did how he loves that for his Cyclones.
Yes, and I think he's also really looking for consistency in this early season stretch. Of course, it's Iowa a week from Saturday, but in this game against North Dakota, Iowa State has had some issues in the non-conference season. Not playing as well as one would anticipate. Most recent example at Ohio U last year. But I think you have a better chance of being much more consistent with the amount of experience that Campbell has this year.
Rob Gray writing in Cyclone Fanatic and commenting as well. And we are going to reach out to Rob for next week for Iowa State Week, which is always so much fun from both sides for the week on the radio. But he reminds everyone that Iowa State has not had, you know, for the most part, big time romping wins in the first week of the non-conference or the season, if you will. Maybe needing one of those. And North Dakota's not a bad team. Keep in mind that both Iowa and Iowa State are playing pretty good Missouri Valley Football Conference opponents this week. No, they are not the top three or four, but Illinois State has been a consistent playoff qualifier in 1AA. North Dakota has been in and out. No, they are not North Dakota State. They are not the Bison. They are not South Dakota State. They are not even South Dakota in the Oats, but it's a pretty darn good program for North Dakota and Illinois State. So these are, well, yeah, are they gimmies? You never say gimme, but you got to show up to play.
Well, Matt Campbell and Kirk Ferentz are smart enough and been around long enough to understand and try to express to players that, you know, anything can happen any given weekend and likely will. You just don't want it to happen to you. And while that's well and good, some players might go in one ear and out the other. It's North Dakota, coach. But that's a challenge because students are back on campus, a lot going on for the players. And, yes, some of them still do go to school. They might have their parents in town or girlfriends or what have you. A lot of different things going on, and being able to focus is really important.
It is. It is. We're going to get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update, and then we're going to change over to baseball. Cal Eldred will join us here in just a few minutes. Gene and Vinton says what is going to be dumb is if Iowa scores over, let's say, 21 points, the Kirk haters are going to be like, see, we can score without him. Dumb. Yeah, don't put too much stock into that. Cyclone Tim is saying he is anticipating a struggle. It's been the norm under Matt Campbell's teams in the non-conference. It has been more often than not. Iowa State has not run over these opponents, and we all know what happened in Athens, Ohio last year, Mark. Don't want to bring that up for the Cyclone fans out there. And Lafayette was a bad one during the COVID year, 1345 ways in. Keep in mind, Billy Napier was the coach of that Ragin' Cajun team. That was a good team that had NFL talent on it. But, yes, Iowa State did lose that game, but a lot of teams lost to Lafayette that year, Louisiana Lafayette. 319-366-1600. We're going to get to some of the cuts in the National Football League as well with some local ties, unfortunately. We will get to that coming up in just a little bit. And, yes, 0547, hallelujah, Kadarius Toney has been waived by the Kansas City Chiefs. He was waived earlier today. Kind of knew that was coming when the Chiefs re-signed Juju Smith-Schuster off the waiver wire. We got that and other things on the Emels Hideaway scoreboard, brought to you by Emels, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot. What do we got?
We will get to NFL cuts. Non-Iowa angle, Gable Steveson, the champion wrestler, has been cut by the Buffalo Bills in his attempt to have an NFL career. Caitlin Clark, you may recognize the name, has been named Eastern Conference Player of the Week in the WNBA. Over three games, she averaged 25 points, 9 assists, and 5 rebounds. Iowa baseball news, Wes Obermueller and Tyler Cropley, two former Hawkeyes who had a taste of the big leagues, are joining the staff. Obermueller as Director of Player Development. He's from Vinton-Shelsburg originally. And Cropley as a student assistant. And finally, we talked about Big Ten wrestling in the lead-in. The Big Ten has announced home and away opponents for each of its teams. Iowa will have home meets against Nebraska, Northwestern, Illinois, and Ohio State. The conference road trips will be Minnesota, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Maryland.
No Iowa Penn State in Iowa City this year. It will be at State College. We'll see if they have it in the at Rec Hall or at Bryce Jordan Center this year. They've had it in both over the last handful of years when Iowa and Penn State have gotten together. So we shall see what Cale wants to do this year. He's got the call on that, right, Isaac?
Yes, for sure.
See, 69-36, having a redshirt freshman start at running back will be interesting, they say. And 0547 is excited to see what Cyclones will do this year. Believes last year was Campbell's best coaching job, with losing all those players right before the season, including your starting quarterback. Yeah, we don't have to, at least right now, worry about any players missing time due to gambling issues. Let's hope it stays that way. 3:30, we'll take a break, come back, talk some Major League Baseball with you. Cal Eldred will join us right after this. You are listening to a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it's going to be another hot and humid day with temperatures in the low 90s and heat index values in the triple digits. We may have a few scattered showers and storms later this afternoon and into the evening. A few storms could be strong with gusty winds and hail, and some storms may continue overnight into early Wednesday. We'll have some dry time tomorrow, still going to be warm and humid with temperatures in the mid 80s. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Quickstar continues our quest to make you the most fun person on the planet with ground beef at just $2.99 a pound. Come on, yeah, that's fun. Ground beef is a party in a package. Grill outs, burgers, street tacos, spaghetti and meatball movie nights. Beef up the fun and freezer up for fall, tailgates, and chili. And why would you ever cook in when you can grill out? At $2.99 a pound, you can grill every meal. Oh, and we also have any and everything else you need. Quickstar, we got your good times covered.
Are you an outside salesperson stuck in a job taking you nowhere? Do you know you could be doing better if given the right opportunity? Hi, this is Jim Lobato, General Sales Manager for 1600 ESPN. We're looking for the right person to join our sales team. If you're a President's Club caliber salesperson with a track record of success, our fun, fast-paced, creative environment might be a perfect fit for you. Use your talents where there's no cap on your income or limits on your success. Isn't it time you started getting paid what you're worth?
Call 1600 ESPN or email jim@kzia.com. Equal opportunity employer.
The second you climb onto a John Deere and sit in the yellow seat, you'll notice that the difference between our 1025R and the competition is more than paint deep. It feels like it was designed with a better understanding of real-world performance needs and features you'll appreciate over the long-term ownership. At City Tractor, we went head-to-head with the competition to prove it. Stop by City Tractor on Penn Street and North Liberty today to see the difference for yourself. You just have to get in the seat.
Tune in to 1600 ESPN every weekday at 5 o'clock with Spencer on Sports for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you at 3:32 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Coming up tomorrow, looking forward to talking with John Bonenkamp, the Swiss Army knife of all things journalism here in Eastern Iowa. We'll take a look at Iowa and Illinois State and other sports events coming up with John. That'll be tomorrow right here on a Wednesday edition of the Gym Class. And we get closer and closer to kickoff, but we still have baseball, which is front and center. About 30 games remaining in the baseball regular season. And with that being said, our friend Cal Eldred, the former major leaguer, joining us here on a Tuesday, a warm Tuesday in Eastern Iowa. And I think the popcorn could probably, you put it outside, Cal, it could pop itself right now.
No doubt. You just choose your oil, put a little popcorn in the pan, set it in the sun, and you're going to have a bag full, that's for sure.
No doubt, no doubt. Hey, there's some interesting storylines right now in baseball, and one of those with the Kansas City Royals, your former team, one game behind the Cleveland Guardians and closing in a hurry. A lot of people are saying that Kansas City is going to win the Central Division. Are you one of them?
Well, you know, I think you look, there's three teams right now that can win the Central, which I know at the beginning of the year we talked about that, And we thought, well, this all could all be a possibility. But we talked about that for each of these teams. I didn't think Kansas City would get over the hump, but the one thing that they've done is they have beat the teams that they should. Their record against teams that are under 500 is a pretty good record. Cleveland throughout the year has had that same type, done the same type of thing. Minnesota's done a pretty good job too. But I think it's out of these three teams, who's going to play better against teams that are above 500 the rest of the way out, because they kind of evenly have to play teams like that. And they still play each other. All three of those teams do. Obviously, big next two nights are big games for both Kansas City and Cleveland coming up in Cleveland the next couple days. So, man, they're a younger bunch offensively in Kansas City, but Salvador Perez seems to be the guy that still gets it done for him, especially in Cleveland. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it turns out the Royals, Cal, have done a nice job with the draft in some respects. And, you know, you talk about Witt, and there's Sal Perez there. But a guy named Pasquantino is having a heck of a year. What are your thoughts about him?
Well, you know, there were a couple players that picked at the same time that the Royals were getting a lot of publicity about back in 2018 about their pitching class that they had that year. And a lot of those pitchers, you guys know this is how it goes. When you develop pitching, you have to have 10, and you hope two of them make it. And one in Brady Singer has made it, and he's done a really nice job. But Pasquantino was a kid that was the second-tier first baseman in the draft, and he's really come on. Guys, my son CJ was a teammate of his. Unbelievable teammate. Great competitor, has done a fantastic job. Melendez has hit some key home runs for him, who was supposed to be a catching prospect, but has been moved to the outfield. And actually, Michael Massey, Big Ten kid from Illinois, has done a fantastic job for him in the infield. So they're a young team, and they're exciting, especially from position player point.
Going into the last month, not quite as wide open as far as the playoff spots in both the American League and the National League. Right now in the American League, you take a look at it, and I say Boston and Seattle, maybe Detroit to a certain extent because they are right at the 500 mark, kind of all on the outside looking in at this point. In the National League, the way that the Diamondbacks and the Padres have pulled away, they're going to be in there along with the Dodgers. You're going to have three teams from the West, and right now it's Atlanta and the Mets slugging it out, and then whoever wants to get hot in September in the National League Central trying to catch those teams. But it's not quite as wide open as it's been in the last couple of years. A little bit more, a little less teams involved this year.
Well, and you know, that's interesting, Scott, too, because I know there were so many teams at the trade deadline a month ago who needed to make decisions on whether they were going to go for it or not. And some of these teams, I mean, the Mariners just changed managers. They went from Scott Service to Dan Wilson, trading catchers. Obviously, Scott being a Creighton alum and Dan Wilson from the University of Minnesota. But I'm going to tell you, don't count any of those teams out because they can get hot just like the Diamondbacks have. Diamondbacks have gotten hot. They went and swept Boston. That really hurts Boston's opportunity. But even Cleveland now, I know that sounds crazy. Or I'm sorry, not Cleveland, Detroit. You look at what they're doing. The Mets are still in it. I mean, it's just these swings have been pretty big. So I think in those few that the choices still have to be made, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Cal, the dog days of August is a common phrase in baseball. As a player, as a coach, is it a real thing? And how do you get, if it is, how do you get players to continue to focus?
You know, Mark, it is real. And I was just watching a game the other day, and I flipped through two or three games, and I commented to my wife, I just said, look at the faces of these coaches. Look at some of these players. And they look like they haven't slept for a month. It is. It's hard because you're playing in St. Louis tonight. It's going to be really hot. And then they had a big bunch of runs scored, and those games take a long time. It's just a fact, too, that you see, I think this is part of the issue with Cleveland. Cleveland's have some young pitchers in their rotation, and they're running out of gas a little bit. Or they're seeing this team for the second or third time during the year, and they've got to make some adjustments, which isn't easy to do as a young player. And now, so all those things go into consideration into what they call the dog days of August or summer, and it's true. It runs into September, and the only thing that gets you over the hump, honestly, guys, is the fact that if you think you have an opportunity to be a playoff team, that adrenaline starts kicking in. And that's why you see the good teams start playing better and the bad teams start to play worse.
Yeah. Cal Elder joining us at 3:40 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. You mentioned St. Louis, and tell you what, just watching some excerpts of the Cardinal games over the last handful of days, what other opposing broadcasters have said, there's a little malaise in Cardinal land right now. Crowds are way down. Cardinals are a game under 500. I don't know. This is just not late August St. Louis type stuff people are talking about right now.
No, they really needed more during the trade deadline, even though most publications and people around the game thought St. Louis did quite a bit. And I just think they needed more. And offensively, they still are struggling. I mean, it's just something that they just do not score enough runs. They went and got a Kyle Gibson and a Lance Lynn, and they added Sonny Gray to their rotation. Could you imagine where they would be without those guys? Because the rotation hasn't been unbelievable, but they've been good enough. And so offensively, they're struggling there. So, you know, it's tough. That's one of the toughest jobs to have, is being the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. So I'm telling you, or to be a coach there. So I can see some people being on the hot seat there, but they still, you know, I know being out of the wild card, the number of games that they are, six games, that's a lot of ground to make up.
Cal, we've often talked about Mitch Keller. He's had a rough stretch. No two ways putting it, the last six or eight outings. Got hit badly and beaten badly by the Padres and Dodgers, but then backed it up with a very solid performance. And then last night wasn't very effective against the Cubs. What are you seeing in Mitch Keller?
Well, you know, it's interesting. They stole a lot of bases off of Mitch, and the Cubs did. And I think that, you know, he's usually pretty decent to the plate. And you know, it's kind of what we talked about, guys. I think, Scott, you mentioned it in the dog days of August, or Mark, we've talked about it. I think this is a part of the year as a starting pitcher where Mitch has piled on some innings. He is facing these teams multiple times, and he's struggling at times to find a way to get guys out. When one game, I know he had a good fastball, but he didn't command it very well, and his breaking stuff wasn't very sharp. And then I watched his game against Texas, and he pitched extremely well. He had a couple line drives that were outs, but those things are supposed to happen. I think you try to build, and I was hoping that we'd build some confidence there, but I think at times Mitch has had a good fastball and not had his breaking stuff. He's had, you know, decent breaking stuff, and his fastball command hasn't been there. And then some of this stuff is some mental exhaustion, can be some physical exhaustion, because quite honestly, you know, early on Pittsburgh was playing really well, and they added Skeens to the rotation and has Mitch and Jones and some really good arms, but Mitch has been carrying the weight there for a while. And so I know how that feels when your tongue's hanging out of your mouth and you're standing on a little bit. It makes it a little tougher to pitch, but I think he can rebound here, just regroup a little bit, may need another extra day off here or there, and it would really help him.
Yeah. Brewers have built up a 10-game lead with about 30 to go, and you do the math, and it's pretty hard for Milwaukee not to win this thing. Brewers with, as we mentioned, a 10-game lead over the Cubs, 10.5 games over the Cardinals right now, and Milwaukee just keeps on doing it. They're a fun team to watch. They really are, because they do fundamentals right. They play the game the way it's supposed to be played, especially without their big bat right now.
Yeah, when you don't have Yelich in that lineup and you know you're not going to get him back, sometimes, fellas, I think as a club, that helps. And it doesn't help that you're missing the big bat. It helps that you know that he's not coming back. So this is who we are. This is how we score runs. This is how we have to play defense. We're not going to go out and get somebody else and add. This is who we are. And I think sometimes that can bring a clubhouse closer together. And you know Christian Yelich wants to see that club win. Their pitching has been outstanding. And obviously having their closer back helps them a bunch because those games are finished. And when they have the lead, Williams goes and takes care of it. So, and you're right, Scott. They're a fun team to watch because fundamentally they are very sound.
You know, Cal, as you're aware, Aaron Judge is one Bobby Witt category away from the Triple Crown. I don't think he's going to catch Witt. He might. But this guy continues to impress, and I'm going to be curious to see how much. I think he's at 51 home runs now. How many he's going to hit?
Yeah, and it helps both Bobby and watching Judge do what they do with these teams fighting, trying to win a division. You need to win the division as a team, so you don't have to get into the early playoff games and be a wild card team. But with Judge, his swing has gotten so consistent, and he's not swinging at pitches out of the zone. But he's still capable, guys, of hitting a ball that's not a strike out of the ballpark. It's just something, even in Yankee Stadium, he can let balls get deep, and he can hit them to right field and still hit them out of the ballpark. No ballpark's going to hold this guy. I think he's probably going to be the MVP. I don't think he's going to slow down hitting home runs, but I also know Bobby's not going to slow down doing what he does, which is he's five tools, so and another guy that's fun to watch. But I don't know how many he's going to hit, but he's at a pretty furious pace right now.
Yeah. Mentioned the National League. Braves and the Mets kind of fighting it out for that last wild card. The Cubs are there as well. People talk about the Cubs' schedule, although they still have series with the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Phillies yet in the last month. And can the Cubs, they can conceivably catch Atlanta / Mets for that last wild card. Do you think they'll give it a shot?
I think they can do it. It's crazy because we talked about this a while ago. It's the same scenario. They're running into the same scenario that those top three teams in the American League Central are running into. How are they going? They have to win the games they're supposed to win against teams that are under 500 and are struggling. And how are they going to perform, like you said, Scott, against these teams that are above 500 and trying to get momentum going into the playoffs? So the Cubs can do it, but you most of the time we'd be talking about, can the Mets do it? Can they get there? Well, the Mets have some pretty tough teams that they're going to have to play. I think the Cubs can do it. I think it should be fun for Cub fans to watch. If they can get it down to two games within 2 weeks, then I think anything can happen.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but Rick Heller added to his staff today, hiring Obermueller and Tyler Cropley, two guys – not too bad to have around, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Wes being a Benton County guy, I got nothing but good things to say about those people. that's going back home. But I know Wes, having his son play there, and now he's out playing pro ball, Wes has a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience, and is a very patient guy, an intelligent guy that can really help those pitchers, and not just the pitchers, but the hitters, the position players. There's lots of things that he has seen that's going to be an advantage to that staff. And I can't say enough good things about Tyler Cropley. Tyler's kind of like another one of my sons. He's pretty close to the Eldred family, and I'm happy for him. He is such a hard worker, talented guy, both teaching and coaching, and he's a good man. So it's the Iowa staff has gained two really good staff members right there, and obviously I'm happy for both of them.
Yeah, good good guys too, and they will help They'll help Rick and the Hawks, certainly, to get not only on the recruiting trail, but also when it comes down to X's and O's and in the game as well. We got a crow. You know, if it wasn't for my pathetic White Sox, the American League Central would be really getting front and center right now.
It would be. I mean, Detroit's won four in a row, and I won't say who they were playing. Right?
Oh, I will.
but the American League Central, I didn't think they would. The records would be as good as they are, but I do believe I knew it was going to be close at the top, and I knew it was probably going to be those three teams. I thought it's a hats off to all of those teams that they've played well. But I know, Mark, we didn't talk a lot about the Twins. They need Correa back in that lineup. They need Buxton back in that lineup. They're not running on all cylinders right now, and they need to be.
Now Brooks Lee's been out, and now Joe Ryan's done for the year, and I acknowledged all along that pitching might be end up being the Twins' downfall, and it may be.
Yeah, and Cleveland's depending on some young pitchers. Kansas City has a few older guys that might be running out of fuel a little bit, and some younger guys that they have to deal with. Their bullpen's been taxed quite a bit, so I know the records are good, but all these teams are limping a little bit, even though somebody's going to win this division, and it looks like there could be two wildcard teams coming out of there.
That'd be great. That would be great. And how embarrassing is it going to be for my White Sox when they break the record for the worst record in Major League history?
Scott, I cannot tell you how hard it is to know that it's not even September and you have 100 losses already as a team. Going to that clubhouse is a struggle, I would imagine. But they're professionals. They'll play hard. I hope that they all play hard. And obviously, they traded a lot of their players away too. So it is tough for the White Sox fans. And not many of them are going to show up when they're not playing well. But that's what it's about, being a White Sox fan and being a White Sox player. You just got to play better and win more games, and people will show up.
Hope they have a little pride in trying to not to have that dubious record out there. All right, Cal, enjoy the baseball, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to it.
You bet. Looking forward to it. Enjoy the baseball, fellas.
All right, thank you. Cal Eldred joins us every other week on Tuesdays here on the Gym Class to talk some MLB with us. We'll take a break, come back, talk about some of those cuts in the National Football League when we return.
When you grow up in a family business, shop local just hits different. You basically absorb the idea that these people's jobs, their lives, literally depend on you. And that's pretty crazy. It's also the lives of all the people they impact. So like somebody chooses my family's business, then our employees choose other local businesses. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep expanding and make the whole community stronger.
1600 ESPN is a local business. We're here just like you. Choose local every time you can.
Fry Fest, a celebration of all that is Hawkeye, presented by the Eastern Iowa Airport. On Friday, August 30th, we'll be celebrating 15 years of Fry Fest and Herky on Parade. Get the chance to see all 101 Herky statues at Fry Fest. Take part in the Fry Fest games, kids activities, a concert by Iowa native Maddie Poppy, and the world's largest Hawkeye trade show. Kick off the athletic season the right way at Think Iowa City's Fry Fest. Visit fryfest.com for all the details.
Be the ultimate insider with the official app of the NFL. Get closer to the NFL action all season long with access to the latest NFL news, highlights, insider analysis, and more. Plus, go deeper into the game with NFL Plus and access live out-of-market preseason games, live local and primetime games on mobile, and 24/7 NFL Network. You'll also get access to NFL Red Zone and game replays with NFL Plus Premium. Sign up today at plus.nfl.com. Subscription required for NFL Plus.
Whether you're tinkering in your garage or tackling big projects, if you know the value of working with your hands, you know Harbor Freight. And you can be confident knowing that at Harbor Freight, you can get quality tools at prices that work just as hard as you do. Because the only thing more satisfying than a job well done is a job well done, well under budget. Whatever you do, do it for less at Harbor Freight.
3:54, back with you here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Scott, Mark, and Isaac with you. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. That will be from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Coach's cuts will be included as he will be playing what Kirk had to say earlier on today. And then Dave Cobb from CBS Sports writes college football. He'll be joining Spencer as well between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. And as well tonight, the first Cyclone Coaches Show will come your way on our very own airwaves from 6:30 until 8 o'clock this evening. Mark, it's cut down day in the National Football League. We did have a question from 5822 about Logan Lee, Joe Evans, and Noah Shannon. And Spencer and I were doing some last-second research here. Nothing concrete as of yet, and Spencer will have more on this between 4 and 6 because we're going to have more information coming down the line right here. But haven't seen anything on Joe Evans, and there is a report that from one of the websites that covers the Eagles that Logan Lee is going to make it. So we'll see. We'll see. They're just starting to come out right now, most of the cuts, and some teams are quicker than other teams.
Yeah, Noah Shannon being cut by the Raiders is no big surprise, but I, for one, was really rooting for him after what happened to him last year, but he certainly was a long shot. Among the cuts today, C.J. Beathard cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars, Matt Nelson, you're talking about locally, cut by the Giants. Julian Good-Jones from Washington and Iowa State also cut. And kind of curious, Kenny Nwangwu from Iowa State. The Vikings are either going to trade or cut him. He's been a little valuable. And there's other cuts as well.
Yeah, Nwangwu, that's a real head-scratcher to me because he's been a terrific returner for the Vikings. And as Spencer and I were discussing before the show, if he does get caught, no one's going to trade for him. If that is the case for the Vikings, somebody is going to pick him up because he's just too valuable as far as a specialist is concerned. And he's shown his mettle just bringing back kickoffs. He's had some touchdowns on kickoff returns. So I think he's not going to be unemployed very long if the Vikings are forced to give him up as far as the waiver wire is concerned. And yeah, and as we got a couple of texts, Kadarius Toney was let go by the Chiefs. And that was pretty much set in stone when they brought Juju back in after he was cut by the New England Patriots. John Bonenkamp's going to join us coming up tomorrow. We'll talk more about Iowa and Illinois State and all things college football with the Swiss Army knife of journalism here in Eastern Iowa and Western Illinois. We will do that coming up Thursday. We will talk with the beat writer for the Illinois State Redbirds and also efforting a little high school football talk because it is the start of high school football coming up this week in earnest. So we will do that for the rest of the week. Mark, have a good night. We'll reconvene tomorrow at 3.
Sounds great. Talk then.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class right here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-777-1225. Big Lou is intimate.